Well, it is good to be with you today. We have a slight change in our plans today. Our Hearts for Worship team is, a couple of them are sick, and a couple of the key singers are. You might relate to that. Some of you might have been dealing with a 24-hour stomach bug or just haven't been feeling well. And so would you just be praying for our team, particularly Linda Hatfield's not feeling very well. So you get more of me. How excited about that are you? Susan, we got to figure that out next time. I don't know if they can take too much more of me, but... by the way, our worship choir is going to be singing on the night of Palm Sunday, and that is going to be coming up very quickly. You're not going to want to miss that. 6 o'clock, we're going to have that here. God is good. So I can fill time. That's what pastors do. And so let me just share this moment with you. Yesterday, we were at our Moxadarla property that we just purchased last year, and that house needs a lot of TLC and a lot of cleaning up, and we had a group of teens come out and a group of adults. We had junior hires, high schoolers come out, and these guys did an amazing job. I see some of you guys sitting back there, and would you just give our young people a hand. You guys are awesome. I just appreciate you guys. You guys did an awesome, awesome job, and it is so cool to be a part of a church with an amazing group of teens and young people, junior hires and high schoolers. So if you see some of them walking around, give them a high five. We love you guys. We're just so glad you're part of Rolling Plains Church. God is good. God is good. Yeah. So we have been in this sermon series called A Way Out, and this is the final Sunday in that sermon series, and I'm really excited about next week. We're starting a sermon series called Jesus the Counselor, and it's going to carry us through Easter, and we're going to talk about this idea that oftentimes when we go to counseling, we think that we have all the questions, and they're going to give us all the answers. Only when we go to the counselor usually asks us a really probing question that gets to the heart of the matter that kind of makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable. Well, that's what Jesus did. Jesus was the great counselor. And when people went to Jesus and asked him questions, how did he typically respond? With a question. He often responded with a question. And so that's where we're going to be. And oftentimes that question probed people and went to the heart of the matter. So this next Sunday, we're going to talk about the question is, why are you so afraid? And it's Jesus in the boat with the disciples. The week after that, we're going to talk about this idea of, do you believe I can do this? And the power of God's miracles. And week three, we're going to talk about the question that Jesus asked, do you want to get well? And we're going to talk about Jesus' triumphal entry and how God wants us to live a triumphal life on Palm Sunday. And then on Easter Sunday, we're going to talk about spiritual doubts, and this moment where Jesus is in the resurrection, he's appearing to the disciples, he's raised from the dead, and he approaches them, and Thomas misses out on the deal, and he says, why do you doubt? Why do you have and struggle with doubts? That's where we're going the next month. You get excited about that? Yeah, God is going to do some amazing things. I'm excited for that. So before we get to that, we have a sermon to wrap up here in this series today, and we're talking about feeding our spirit. And we're talking about the power of God to help us overcome temptation and sin in our life, because every single one of us has a battle at some level of an unwanted behavior that plagues our whole life. And as a matter of fact, for some of us, it might be kind of a family inheritance. We've inherited this struggle or this challenge from a family member, or we might be watching a family member go through it right now. And so it's gone on for generations, possibly, or it's just something that you can't kick in your life. And this verse has given us hope and has built our faith. And I pray that it's done that for you. And I want us to read this verse of Scripture together. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And I want us to read this verse out loud together. Let's do that right now. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except for what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And so, praise be to God, we are reminded a couple of things. That first of all, it is human nature to be tempted. To be tempted is to be human. And to be tempted is to experience the realities of the enemy that lives in this world who wants to destroy us and lead us into sin and lead us away from God. And so we're also reminded of that no matter the depths of what we're facing, that God is faithful and he always has a way out for us. That's good news. Praise be to God. That's God's promise to you. That's God's good news to you on this day. Now, the best way that I can illustrate this challenge of temptation that keeps coming at us is for those of you that work out and lift weights, and maybe you do free weights or you do Nautilus or you do the machines, whatever it might be, and there's a bench press when you're lifting free weights and you're laying back on your back or on the Nautilus, sometimes you're sitting up and you're doing flies or you're pushing that weight off of you. And what temptation does is temptation wants to press in on you. And so when you're lifting weights, a lot of times people, you lift to exhaustion until you have no more strength in your muscles. And so you'll do high reps reps and low amounts of weight. And so you keep pushing it away and you keep doing these reps, and pretty soon you're getting tired and your muscles are getting fatigued. And then what happens when your muscles get fatigued? Your spotter does what for you? Give me one more. Give me another one. And they kind of reach down and they kind of help you, and they kind of help you push that weight off of you. And so now you're pushing that weight and you keep going, and you're becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. Every time you have to push that weight off of you, every time that you have to go through getting that weight away from you. And that spotter is there. And the only way that you're able to get that bar up one more time is for that spotter to grab a hold of that bar and help you up with that. You see, temptation is like that, because temptation wants to press in on our life. It wants to overwhelm us, and it wants to take our life, and it keeps coming at us, and we keep pushing it away, and it keeps coming at us, and we keep pushing it away. And friends, there are moments of weakness, because the more it comes at us, the weaker we get. And if we are without a spotting partner in the name and the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to get crushed. And we need the power of the Spirit of God in our life, the power of God's Son and Jesus Christ in our life, to help us press this thing off of us, to press this weight of shame, this weight of sin, this weight of temptation off of our life, because we get weaker and weaker and weaker. And in a moment of weakness, we wind up doing that thing that we don't want to do. And what happens is that weakness becomes bigger and stronger in our life, and it becomes repetitive, and it just kind of reoccurs the same thing over and over again. And we say, why am I so weak? Why am I so weak? Pastor John, why did I stumble again and go and gamble? I didn't want to do that. I mean, I've been trying to fight against that thing. Or you say, Pastor John, why did I look at that thing that I know I shouldn't be looking at and I'm not supposed to be looking at? Pastor John, why did I eat that thing that I know that I shouldn't have eaten because I'm trying to change my life? Pastor John, why did I buy that thing I know I didn't need, and why do I continue to struggle with that? It's because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You need to know this about your God. Your God is willing and able to change and transform and challenge your life. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we are often weak because we are not bonded with what makes us strong. We are often weak because we are not bonded with what makes us strong. And in that case, when we're not bonded to what makes us strong, we find ourselves weak and vulnerable to the temptations of life. Now, I want to introduce a scripture to you that's going to kind of carry us today, and it is in John 15, verse 4. And this is Jesus' command to us and call to us. He says, abide in me. Now, in other translations, that word is also replaced with remain in me, or connect with me, or bond with me, any one of those words. But abide has this powerful moment where we're abiding deeply, we're connected deeply with God. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And so what Jesus is saying is that we get our power, we get our strength by abiding in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And when we're separated from that, that's when we're weak and we're susceptible to temptation in our life. So we've got to focus on this bond of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, the best way that I can play this out for you is when you picture a garden, or you picture branches on the trees or bushes, and some of you are green thumbs and you like to do that work around the house. And my favorite part of gardening is being able to delimb things, cutting up trees, cutting off tree limbs, because you get to get the power tools out. You get to get the chainsaw and run that thing Man, it's just awesome. And so I get out there, and you cut off a limb. What happens when you cut a branch or a limb off of a bush or a tree? Does it survive? Does it produce flowers and leaves? No, it dies off. It withers away because it's no longer connected to the vine. It's no longer connected to its source of power and provision. And that's what Jesus is saying. We've got to remain in, we've got to abide in him, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we're not bonded to that which makes us strong, we find ourselves weak and susceptible to temptation in our life. There was a lot of tests that have been done and over a lot of things. And one of the tests that was done with lab rats was around a study of addictions and addictions. Now, I want to just warn you ahead of time, some of these rats died. Actually, in one of the tests, all the rats died. And if you're an animal lover, I get it. I understand. And if you're with PETA, I'm sorry. If you're here today, people eating tasty animals, I understand. I understand that. I get myself in trouble sometimes. I just lack sensitivity sometimes, don't I? Sensitivity. I need sensitivity training in those moments. But anyways, there are these rats, and they're doing this study of addictions with rats. And so what they do is that they introduce a normal bottle of water to this cage of rats, and they do just fine, and they feast on the water. And then they introduce a second bottle of water that's laced with cocaine. And what they discovered over the course of time is that every single one of these rats got addicted to the chemical water. And when they did, 100% of the rats overdosed on it and they OD'd. In other words, they were so addicted to it, they couldn't stop, to the point where they ended up killing themselves by OD'ing on this chemically laced water. And what the scientists or the people doing the study concluded is that we or our brains are chemically biased naturally, more naturally to and certain and vulnerabilities to certain kinds of addictions and challenges or hurts, habits, or hangups in our life. That our brains are naturally wired to be more addicted to certain things. And maybe that's a different thing for you than it is for you. But these rats, they just ended up getting OD'd on this. Now, what they did do is they started introducing another thing for them to bond to. So what happened is that the rats ended up bonding to this chemically laced water because they really didn't have a good thing to bond to. They didn't have anything else. So they introduced in this study a play park for rats. It was kind of a Disneyland for mice. And in this Disneyland for mice, or this play park for rats, they had balls and they introduced tunnels and spinning things, whee, and cheese, and they introduced males for females and females for males, and so they had a lot of things to keep themselves occupied with, and they got to hang out together, play together, and do all these things. And what they discovered is, over the course of time, that even though the chemically laced water was there and present, and the regular bottled water was there and present, none of the rats overdosed on the water. None of the rats overdosed on the water because when you don't bond with that which makes you strong, like the rat park, you become vulnerable to the wrong things. And so because they had something very strong that they could bond with that was healthy and good, it kept them from being bonded and being weak and bonding to something that could destroy them. And it's the same thing for you and me. Are you guys following this? It's the same thing for you and me, because when we find ourselves not bonding to that which makes us strong, we wind up finding something else that just is going to make us weak and destroy us, and it leads us down a pathway of destruction in our life. And so we need to make sure that when we're vulnerable to the challenges in our life, we need to be bonded to that which is going to make us healthy and strong so we can be more resistant to the temptation that wants to take us down. And while many of us have a plan for physical health, like when we're talking about working out, a lot of us don't have a plan for spiritual health. We don't have a plan to combat this challenge. We don't have a plan to battle the temptations in our life. And we don't have a plan to really build this bond with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so we want to talk today about feeding the Spirit. Last week we talked about starving the flesh. Remember we talked about that idea of that which you feed grows and what you starve dies. And we quoted our inner Scottish person, our Scotsman from Scott's lawn, and said, you got to feed your lawn. You've got to feed it. And when you feed your lawn, what happens? It grows green. And when you don't feed your lawn, what happens? It kind of gets brown and it kind of withers away a little bit. And so we know when we feed it, it's going to grow. When we starve it, it's going to die. So we've got to starve the fleshly nature in us, the sinful nature in us. And we need to feed the power of the Spirit of God in us and watch what God does. So how do we do that? How do we feed your spirit? How do we feed our fleshly nature? No, we don't feed the fleshly nature. I'm sorry. How do we feed the Spirit of God in us? For when we are weak, we try to resist it, but we find ourselves to be vulnerable in those moments. And we need to learn to be spiritually at our best. And that means a great connection, a powerful connection, a bonded connection to the vine that makes me strong. So there's three things we're going to cover today. Three things that are essential to you for your spiritual strengthening. Three things that are essential to me for spiritual strengthening in our lives to create this strong bond with God, to build strength. Now, these three things might seem simple. These three things are things that we've talked about before. But the funny part about it is that even though they're simple and yet very profound, very few of us are practicing them. Very few of us are practicing them. And if we're practicing them, we're not doing it with consistency or we're not doing it very well. And the first one is this. If you're going to feed your spirit, you need to feed your spirit with prayer. Feed your spirit with the power of prayer. And when we feed the Spirit with the power of prayer in our life, it grows our intimacy, it grows our ability to be able to bond with our God, and it strengthens us in powerful and amazing ways. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, the Scripture says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus' words. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's just so true, because the Spirit is. God is willing and able, but our flesh, our human nature is just so weak. And so because of that, we need to feed our spirit with prayer. Why is that? Because prayer is a conversation with God. It's communication with God. And if you look at any struggling relationship, there is typically an absence of healthy and good communication. And when there's a thriving relationship, it's because communication is going well. And God is doing a good thing and an amazing thing in that. And people are talking. And so in order for our relationship to be strong and the power of the Spirit of God, in order to feed it, we need to be in conversation and prayer with God. We need to be listening and we need to be talking. We need to be sharing life with God back and forth. Now, Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And in doing so, in teaching them to pray, he got into this prayer lesson and he taught them the Lord's Prayer. And I'd actually like us to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And we have it up there on the screen. Let's pray this powerful prayer together. You ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Did you see that part in there where it says, lead me not into temptation? You know, Jesus is talking about this idea of deliver me, Lord Jesus, Lord God, set me free from evil. Deliver me not into temptation, set me free. I don't want to be in the face of temptation. I don't want to lead into sin. So Lord, guard my heart. And what we see is that prayer is the great weapon against falling into temptation, and it strengthens our spirit. Now let's talk about this idea of falling into temptation. Because what happens is when you hear people stumble, they always say, well, I fell into sin. Or I fell into temptation, or I fell into immorality. What you never hear is, I fell into righteousness, or I just fell into holiness. I just happened to do that. And so what happens is we can be walking along in life and kind of moseying along, and we just happen to fall into temptation. We just happen to fall into sin because it just comes at us from everywhere. It's constantly pressing against us. But what you never hear is, hey, I just happened to fall into righteousness, and God and I are good. I just happened to fall into holiness, and man, things are going great. It just doesn't happen that way. You trip and fall into temptation, but when it comes to righteousness, it only happens through intentional pursuit of the goodness of God in our life. And that's how it happens in our life. And so when we pray, it keeps us from falling. When we pray, when we talk to God, when we build this relationship, it keeps us from falling. And so after Jesus shares this conversation with the disciples about prayer, after he teaches them about prayer, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and practices praying. He practices praying because he's extremely tempted in his life at that point in time. He knows what he's about to endure. He knows that he's to go to the cross. He knows that he's going to endure the pain and the punishment and the trials and the challenges and the struggles and the beatings and the humiliation and the mocking and all of the cruelty that's going to come at him and the suffering. He's going to have to experience all that. And he goes to God in prayer because he's feeling tempted to say, hey, listen, God, isn't there another way? Would you remove this cup of suffering from me? I don't want to have to deal with this. Who would? Who would want to have to deal with that? And so rather than the suffering and the torture, he's thinking, isn't there another way? And he knows that there's not another way, but because he knows that he is being tempted and is struggling, what does he do? He prays. He goes to God the Father, and he prays. And then after that, he finds himself praying again. He prays a prayer of submission and says, hey, but not my will, but yours be done. This preemptive kind of prayer that brings strength into his life so that he can be able to combat the temptation. This bond that grows in him and the Spirit of God in that moment, even Jesus in that moment needed prayer to sustain him through the challenging times and those times of trials. And we can pray prayers like that. Simple prayers that say, God, I want to submit my spirit, my heart to you because I'm struggling right now. God, I submit my eyes because I'm about to look at something I shouldn't look at. God, I submit my feet because I'm about to go somewhere I shouldn't go. Lord God, I need your power and strength. I submit my ears, my mouth, my heart, my hands, my whole life to you. And I want to be used to lift up your name in all that I do. I want to be able to give you honor and glory in all that I do and how I live. And it's the same kind of prayer that Jesus prayed. It's a prayer of submission. And that prayer of submission strengthens us for when the stumbling of temptation comes along and comes our way. And it gives us a way out. Prayer is an incredibly strong bond with God. An incredibly strong bond with God that every single one of us needs in our life. Every single one of us needs it. It doesn't have to be 45 minutes long. It doesn't have to mean that you're on your knees. You can pray right where you are, when you are, and you can just pray a short, simple little prayer in that moment that says, Lord God, I need your help. Oh, Lord God, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. God, I don't have the power to walk through this. I need your power in my life. Lord God, would you give me a way out of this temptation? Lord, just provide something. Just your supernatural intervention. I need you. I need your Spirit. Fill me, Lord God, fill me. Do you think that God will not fill you when you call him to do that? Do you think that God isn't waiting to just fill us and bless us and do an amazing work in us? God is hungry. He's waiting to hear from us. He's desperate to hear from us. Prayer is a bonding agent. It's like glue with the Spirit of God. It tightens up that relationship. It just creates an incredible bond between the vine and the branch. And God says, remain in me, abide in me. How do we do that? Well, we can do that by prayer. We can do that, secondly, when we feed our spirit with God's word. We feed our spirit with God's word. Now, again, some of this might seem simple, but a lot of us aren't practicing this, or a lot of us aren't in a great rhythm when it comes to these things. In the book of Psalm 119, King David writes these words, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What a great question that King David starts with. And not only for our young people to hear, but for all of us to be able to hear this. But why would you think that King David asks such a question? He wouldn't ask such a question if the problem didn't exist. And there's such a great problem and there's such a great challenge with temptation, especially when we're a young person. But it also continues into as we get older. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? And the answer isn't by living according to what culture says is cool. It isn't according to what a friend might be doing or saying we should be doing. It isn't by seeing or reading or hearing or looking at social media. What he says is if you want to stay pure, you do it by living according to my word. You do it by living according to the word of God. And I love it when he makes this statement. You do it by hiding his word in your heart. How personal is that? I love that statement. God wants us to hide his word in our hearts. Because his truth is going to keep me from falling into the lies of temptation. And that's what temptation is. It's a lie from Satan that says, hey, listen, if you just do this, if you just smoke this, if you just see this, if you just look at this, if you just act this way, if you just give someone a peace of mind like you want to, then everything is just going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. But last week we talked about the idea that sin thrills at the beginning, but then it ultimately kills. And it's a lie that promises great things at the sacrificing of obedience to God. And it ultimately doesn't lead to lasting great things in our life. But what we do know... What we do know about God's truth is it keeps us from falling into the lies of temptation, and God's word does that. The Bible tells us that Jesus came as the very word of God, that in Jesus Christ the word became flesh. We know that in John chapter 1 of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the fourth gospel. And we know that when Jesus came in the flesh, we know therefore that when he came in the flesh, the word became flesh. And when the word became flesh, we know that the word is alive and active, and it can breathe life into us. The word of God wants to breathe life into you, and we know that this happens because we read a verse of Scripture, and it speaks right into our heart and soul in a specific way. And then the next week, we happen upon that same Scripture, or a few months later, and then it speaks something entirely different into our hearts and our souls. And we say, man, it's like God is speaking directly to me. And he is, because his word is alive. We also know that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So because of that, we know that it becomes a spiritual armor in our life that allows us to go on the offensive against Satan, who wants to do nothing other than to destroy us and to say, Satan, you have no room in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I claim you. I claim your reign over me. Jesus did that 3 times when he was in the desert. When he was wandering in the desert in the wilderness for 40 days, he was tempted. He was tempted and tempted and tempted 3 separate times. And Satan came to him and said, hey, listen, why don't you turn this rock into bread? Because, you know, Satan, Jesus was on a fast. And Jesus said, no thanks. And then he said, it is written. He said those powerful words. He said, it is written. And he quoted him Scripture. He quoted him Scripture. Man does not live on bread alone, but he lives on the power and the strength of God, the Lord our God. Then a second temptation came and he said, hey, listen, why don't you throw yourself off this mountain and see if God is going to rescue you and save you. And Jesus said, it is written. The second time he says, it is written. And he quotes him Scripture. He quotes him Scripture because he has Scripture captured in his heart. He quotes him Scripture. And then in the third time, he comes to him and says, hey, listen, just bow down to me and I'll give you everything out there. Satan says to him, that's tempting. And he says, it is written. It is written. And he quotes him Scripture. He quotes him God's word. 3 different times he says, it is written. Written, it is written. What do you think it means to have God's word hidden in your heart? What do you think it means to have God's word hidden in your heart? Well, in a practical sense, it may mean for us to memorize Scripture. It may mean for us to memorize God's Word and to memorize Scripture so that His Word is hidden in our hearts, so that when we come under attack, we're able to say, you know what? I know the truth about that. I know the truth of who I am. I know the truth of what God's called me to be. And we can quote that Scripture back at our enemy. Now, some of you say, well, I'm not any good at memorizing Scripture. Now, that's funny, because if you feel like you're not good at memorizing Scripture, you might also be one of those people that knows every single word to every single song on the latest Taylor Swift album. Okay? You say, hey, I'm not good at memorizing Scripture, but somehow you're able to quote every line from the movie Tombstone, or whatever it might be in your generation of movies that you watch. And I'm that way. I can quote lines from any movie that I've fallen in love with because, well, we memorize what is important to us. And so God is saying, make my word important enough to you that you're willing to feast on and feed on my word, that you're willing to hide it in your heart. And the way that we hide God's word in our heart is to quote, but first of all, memorize His word. We can't quote God's Scripture if it's not memorized in our hearts. And so we're going to need those moments to take it with us wherever we go. We need to be armed with the word of God because we're going to be facing temptation. We need to be ready. We need to be ready with memorizing Scripture. Memorizing Scripture like, greater is He in Jesus Christ than he that is in the world. Memorizing Scripture like, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Memorizing Scripture like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Or that nothing is impossible for God, but all things are possible in God. Amen. How about Scripture like, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How about the idea that as far as me and my house are concerned, we're going to serve the Lord. I mean, we need to memorize these Scriptures so that when the attacks come, we can go on the offensive. Sisters and brothers, it's time to get offensive. It's time to be offensive. Offensive to the power of darkness, offensive to the enemy. And we do that by memorizing Scripture. Because He's always faithful and He's always going to give us a way out. That might be a good passage of Scripture to memorize. And we don't have any excuses, because even if we don't have something memorized for the moment, most of us have our smartphones with us. Do we always have our phones with us wherever we go? Yeah, we take our smartphones wherever we go, right? And in there's a Bible app. You can get a Bible app, like YouVersion Bible app. Download that thing. You can take God's word right there in your pocket. You take it with you everywhere you go. You can listen to it on tape. How old am I that I just said you could listen to it on tape? Oh, my gosh. You can listen to it on an MP3 file. How about that? You can listen to it on your CD. You can listen to it in the car. You've got God's word, and it's never more easy than it is today to hear God's word. Amen. Sisters and brothers, hide God's word in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart so you have it on the tip of your tongue, so that when the enemy comes, you can say it right back to him. I've started a new prayer habit. I've started a prayer wall. It's in our bedroom closet after seeing the movie The War Room, and it's just inspired me to a whole new life of prayer. And I put these prayers up on the wall, and then I just surround it in Scripture. It's Scripture that I'm learning to memorize, and I just need, because when you're praying, you're doing battle. We're going to talk about that in April, because we're going to go to war in April in the name of Jesus Christ in our prayer life. And it's just powerful, the nature of Scripture, when you take it into your heart. It will strengthen you spiritually. It will transform your mind. It will renew your heart. It will take the trash of this world out of your life, and it will replace it with the truth. By the way, another good one to memorize, the truth that will set you free. God's truth will set you free. Hide God's word in your heart. Do it. Hide God's word in your heart. Number three. This is simple stuff, but yet most of us aren't doing it. Number three, feed your spirit, first of all, with prayer. Feed your spirit with God's word. And third of all, feed your spirit with the right people. Feed your spirit with the right people. Now lean in on this one. Lean on this one, because this is probably the one that we're most oblivious to out of all of them. People who strengthen us, we need to feed our souls with, not people who weaken us. We need people who are going to strengthen us, not weaken us. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says in chapter 15, verse 33, Paul writes these words, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." It does it every time. Bad company corrupts good character. "Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning." So Paul's being pretty direct here. He's pleading with us. He's not pulling any punches. He's not trying to be politically correct. He's saying some of you are being misled in your relationships. You're thinking that the people you're hanging out with aren't impacting your lives. Now, the people that you hang out with will impact your lives, whether positively or negatively. And God wants us to say, you need to make sure that you're hanging out with people that are going to strengthen you and not weaken you, because the reality is some of the people you're hanging out with are taking you down. Some of the people that you're hanging out with are not pulling up on the bar. They're pressing down on the bar. Am I talking to some of the right people here today? And so they're pressing down on the bar of temptation in your life. rather than helping you pull up as you're trying to push that stuff out of your life. And this isn't just for young people. This is for old people, because we all struggle with this. And we're assuming that our relationships aren't influencing us, but they are. That's why when I was a freshman in college at The Ohio State University, I needed to make a switch, because I was hanging out with the guys in the dorm rooms next to me, and we were playing cards, and we were playing poker. And when we were playing poker, I was putting $1 down, $5 down, $10 down. $10 turned into $20, and all of a sudden, I realized just how lost and alone I was in my soul and spirit, because I was walking away from God doing this gambling thing, playing poker, and I realized that it wasn't just me, it was the people I was hanging out with. And I decided that I needed to have a friendship upgrade. And we need a friendship. Some of us need a friendship upgrade in those moments. And I decided and said, I can't hang out with these guys anymore, and I can't spend all this time with these guys. I'm not ending my relationship with them. I'm going to try to influence them in a positive way, but I've got to go spend some more time with some people that are going to build me up. So I went to Campus Crusade for Christ. I got involved in a Bible study. I started hanging out with a group of guys called the Discovery Group, and we started praying together and getting in God's Word together and feeding each other's souls and building each other up and strengthening one another and not weakening one another. And for some of us that were struggling with temptations and our friends aren't helping, actually they're helping the temptation, is that we need that friendship upgrade. If you're struggling with alcohol, you need to get rid of that buddy that constantly comes to you and says, let's go hang out at the bars. You know, if you're struggling with purchases, you need to get rid of that friend that constantly comes to you and says, let's go shopping. You're saying, thanks, but no thanks, okay? If you're struggling with negativity, you need to get rid of that friend that constantly is negative all the time around you, and it just presses down on your soul. We need to make a friendship change in our life. We need to find people that are going to sharpen us and strengthen us, and they're going to love us enough to challenge us. We need to get involved in a Bible study or a life group filled with people that are like-minded, that have struggles in their life, but are hungry to pray, are hungry for God's Word, and are desperate to be fed by the Spirit of God, and are wanting to starve the fleshly nature in themselves. It's important. It's so important to get involved in these small groups. Aaron and I have been involved in a small group for as long as I can think. For the 20 years we've been married, whether it's at this church or that church or whatever it is church we're serving, we always find ourselves getting in a group, or we start a small group. And I'm also involved, and so we're involved with one here at Rolling Plains on Wednesday nights at our house. And I'm also involved in a small group, a life group made up of other pastors. And we meet in Columbus once a month, and we meet together for encouragement and to challenge one another, but to have our spirits fed and for us to strengthen one another and to build one another up. And so we need to find somebody that we can completely be transparent with, who will pray for us. And so when we're tempted, we can go to them and say, hey, I'm feeling tempted. I need some help. Because we get in trouble when we leave sin and temptation in the dark. But when we expose sin and temptation to the light, that's when God can bring healing. You see, those things get healed when they're exposed to the light. And that's what God is calling us to do. And so that's why we need to get involved in Christian community. That's why we need to get involved in a local church. That's why we need to go deeper than just a worship service on Sunday, but get involved in a Bible study or a service group to be the body of Christ. Because when we come together and encourage one another, when we come together and challenge one another and care for one another and do life together, it is absolutely strengthening, and it strengthens the bond that we have in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you want to build the bond between the vine and the branch, we need to pay attention to the people that we're hanging out with and the relationships that we're building. And you see, God wants to take all these branches. We're all branches, and we're connected to the vine and Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to create in his local church a bush out of it. All these branches, but not just any bush, a burning bush. A burning bush that burns with the heart and the passion of the Holy Spirit of God, that pours out into all of our life and all of our relationships, into our households, our families, and out into our workplaces. That's what God is calling us to do. To be able to, when we stumble into temptation, to learn to live past and beyond a life of sin and self-serving that leads to destruction and death, but a life of power and a life of discipline and a life devoted to God. And it starts by starving the flesh and the sinful nature in us and feeding the Spirit that will grow us and strengthen us to be able to do so. To grow us and strengthen us to be able to do so. We do that in three ways. Number one, by prayer. And prayer is bonding intimately with God and hearing from Him and being able to talk to Him. We do it, secondly, through feeding on the Word of God and hiding the Word of God in our hearts. You got to hide the Word of God in your hearts. And third, through the right people in spiritual community that are impacting me with the power of God. So that when I'm impacted, or when I'm trying to be impacted by the desire of the flesh, I'm going to realize that it's the power of the Spirit of God that can overcome, that there's always a way out. And we're all vulnerable. To be human is to be tempted. And there are going to be moments and seasons in our life where we're going to fall away, and we're going to do destructive things. And we're weak in that moment because we're not connected and bonded to that which makes us strong. We got to get connected to the rat park in our life. We got to get connected to the Disneyland for mice in our life. We've got to make sure that as a branch, we are bonded to the vine, that we are connected to the vine, that we are abiding in the vine of God and Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we're doing life God's way, praying, getting in His Word, getting involved in a spiritual community. And when we do, we're going to find that He's faithful. And we're going to discover that there's always, always a way out in Christ Jesus. Here are a couple of action steps for you. Number one, pick one of these practices and really focus in on it. I've shared with you that for me, right now I'm focusing in on my prayer life in a way that I haven't focused in a long time. And just for me, writing down on sticky notes and putting it on a wall is, I've not really done the journaling thing or written down prayers before. And it's just an amazing thing to have them in front of me on this wall. And I'll get secluded. I'll get away from everybody else. And I'll just sit down with God for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, 10 minutes. And just pray. Pray over the requests, the challenges. And then I'll pray over the scripture that God has surrounding those challenges and be reminded of God's promises. What is it for you? Increasing your prayer life, increasing, getting in God's Word? Is it getting involved in a life group? And that's the second action step. Get in a life group. Get involved with a community of people where we can get together for encouragement and prayer and Bible study and getting in God's Word and building one another up, strengthening one another, rather than hanging with those who just want to weaken us. God is good, and God is doing some amazing things in our life. I invite you to take on one of those three things this week. Have a great week. God bless.
Oh, thank you for being here at Rolling Plains today. We're so glad to be with you, and we hope this time has been a blessing guest with us. We really want to make sure that you stop by either of the tables at the back of the sanctuary. We have a gift we'd like to send home with you. And if you communicate by text messaging, we would really appreciate if you'd include your cell phone on the card as well so that we can be in touch with you in that manner. On the back of the card, you'll see several ways to get connected, both to other people here at Rolling Plains and to God. Above all else, we want to make sure that you know that you matter to us and that you matter to God and that Jesus' gift of His life.